where we are today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1.
Isn't that awesome?
Continuing in our little series, The Way That You Live. Chapter 3, verse 1. Yeah. Let's all stand on our feet and we'll read through to verse 7. Verse 1. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, verse 7. Likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to come to your word, that we can do it freely and openly in the United States, that we don't have to fear persecution, that we don't have to fear our lives for it, Lord. We don't take that for granted, Lord. And we are thankful to be gathered together with our brothers and sisters and you, and to study your word. Please speak to us, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Show us exactly what you want us to learn from your word this morning. And then speak through me, I pray, Lord. I pray that I would just rest on you, let your Holy Spirit do the work, and that we would leave this place knowing exactly what you want us to grow deeper in. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Grab a seat, y'all. So today, we are talking about a very interesting topic for junior high. And if you paid attention at all while we read through verses 1 through 7, you noticed that we are going to be talking about how we as Christians should live within the institution of marriage. Oh, what? Oh, no. Marriage. Oh. Marriage is what brings us together. Now, as far as I know, none of you are married.
Let's hope not.
Objection! I'm pretty sure none of you are married. Probably none of you are even close to it, as far as I know. Maybe. But, that doesn't mean that this teaching will not speak to you guys, and that this passage of 1 Peter is not going to speak to us currently where we are. And just to clarify, I don't like wake up in the middle of the week and I'm like, oh, I really want to talk to the junior hires about marriage this Sunday. No, I just teach what the Word of God has there for us. And there's important stuff for us to receive from it. There's a few things that you guys need to have an understanding about marriage at your age. And here's a few of the things. First, what the Bible says about marriage gives us an important understanding about the biblical differences between men and between women. So the way the Bible describes marriage between a man and a woman gives us a glimpse into the biblical differences between the man and the woman. And this is so necessary for us as Christians in the current world that we live in, because we have so many trendy new movements that are like deconstructing the biblical truths of men and women. We have the LGBTQAIP, I think I got the whole thing. LGBTQAIP, yeah. Movements that are basically, they're saying that your sex and your gender, whether you're male or female, man or woman, that they do not really matter when it comes to who you are as a person. And then we have the feminist movements, which are awesome. And they say that women are awesome and that they need to be stood up for. And I totally agree with that. Feminism at its core is not something that is wrong. It's not something that I disagree with. In fact, it's something that I support and that I believe the Bible supports. But the issue is that some people, I think they get feminist movements confused with the LGBTQ whatever movements, and they start to think that a good feminist thinks that there's no difference between a woman and a man. And that is so bad. Like, even from a perspective of feminism, it's not feminism. You can't be a good feminist if you think there's no difference between a man and a woman. It just doesn't work. The two do not add up. Because being a feminist, you have to acknowledge that there's a difference between women and men, and that women are wonderful and important and valuable and need to be stood up for. But even then, this way of thinking is becoming more and more of the norm, and it's even beginning to creep into the church, where Christians are seeing less of a need for the separate roles of men and women. But this thinking, it's not only wrong from a feminist perspective, but it's also wrong from a biblical perspective. And this is one thing that we're going to see today as we cover the roles within marriage. And it's so important for us to understand, because this world that we live in right now, and it's been doing it, this is probably why Peter had to talk about it when he wrote this letter. It's been doing it for years, but it's so common now. The world is just diluting the difference between men and women. And from Genesis chapter 2, there is a clear difference between men and women. Before the fall, before evil entered the world, there is a clear distinction between the man and between the woman. And then after the fall, there's even more of a distinction between the man and the woman. Oh, what happened there? Oh, it's on a timer too? Is it really? Oh, man. Bummer. So, that's one thing that we're going to receive this morning as we cover the topic of marriage. But another thing that you will receive, another reason to cover marriage at this age, is there's a slight chance that some of you in the future might get married. And I know that's hard for you guys to imagine. I mean, who would ever want to get married, am I right? Oh, my goodness. Gross. No. But statistically speaking, the majority of you, so more than half of you, are going to get married at some point in your life. And it's better for you guys, and for your future spouse, even, to begin learning about the roles of marriage ahead of time, because there's so much to learn about it. So stinking much to learn. And it will even help you navigate dating relationships in the future as you start to date, as you understand more the roles of the man and the woman within marriage. So it's very important. It's important to know. And you don't want to have to like wait till engagement to learn everything about marriage, because then you'd have a whole lot to learn. But it's better to just in small little nuggets to learn more and more about the roles of a wife, the roles of a husband, how they are called to live within that, the image that it displays of God's relationship with the church, the images that it displays of the separation of men and women, though they are equal in importance but separate in roles and function. And this is so good for us to know. So, I say this to ask you not to tune this out. Just because you're not married and may not be married for like 400 years. Just kidding. But you may not be married for 10, 15 years. I don't know. It doesn't mean that you do not have something to learn from this morning. There's so much to learn from marriage, and it's not just how to be currently a good husband or a good wife. It's to learn what God designed marriage for, how he designed it, what it shows us about men and women, what it shows us about God and Christians, and what it shows us about being married as a Christian, and we can learn and prepare for that even now. Capiche? Entiendes? Do you understand? Yes, good. So what Peter is going to do in our passage today is show us two key things. First, how a woman should live as a Christian within a marriage. And then second, we are going to see how a man should live as a Christian within a marriage. I bet you did not see that coming. Just kidding. And what we're going to do, what we're going to see, is that the two roles, they're both equally important. And this is, it's so important to understand, because people think that you cannot be separate but equal, which is weird, because there's so many things in this world that are separate but equal. But the Bible does not say that men are more important than women, or that women are weaker than men, or that women are more important than men, or that anything else, any other way you can think of it. The Bible says that they are equally important, but different and separate and designed for different things. And this is, I know it sounds so basic, but if you don't grasp this in your mind right now, there's so many opposing messages in the world that are not only slightly against the Bible, but they are flat out false from a biblical perspective. And if you do not understand that men and women are equally important but separate, then you can be so easily led astray by so many things that the world is teaching. And it's not only on a college campus, it's not only in like really bad movies, it is everywhere in this world, and it's becoming more and more present and more evident. So if you're taking notes, we're going to break things down a little differently for this teaching because we've used the same outline so far, but Peter does it a little bit differently. So here's how we're going to break things down. First, we're going to look at wives, the way that wives are supposed to live within a marriage, and the why, the reason why they are supposed to live that way. Then we are going to look at husbands, the way husbands are to live within a marriage, and the why. And then finally, we are going to look at how. And we are going to jam through this, because I think they just started playing the worship music to end the service. That's crazy. So, but we still got time. We got 15 minutes, so they're way ahead of time. Finally, when we close, we're going to look at the how. So how to do it. How do wives live that way? How do husbands live that way? How's the way? How is the way to do it? So let's get started with the way wives are to live within a marriage. First, the first verse of this little passage says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands." So the Bible tells us that there are two places where men are called to lead women and women are called to submit. The church, where pastors lead, and then the home, where husbands lead. And you can read about this in 1 Timothy 3, Titus 2, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 11, Genesis 3, Genesis 2, 1 Peter 3, which is where we are today. Bam! There's so much evidence of this in the Bible. It's all very straight up. It's all very right there. It's very plain sight. You can read it very clearly. That's all I'm going to say about that. So here Peter is telling wives to willingly be under the leadership of her husband. But notice that it's only, in that verse, it's only her own husband. So women should not submit to every man. Women are not under every man. And every man does not have power or authority over every woman. Instead, it is just the husband leads the home, and the pastors of a church lead the church. And that is it. Women can be CEOs in a company, they can be principals, they can be teachers, they can be babysitters, they can be stock investors, they can be bodybuilders, like the manliest thing you can think of. They can be cops. I'm trying to think of okay, you get the idea. But it's just in the church and in the home that men are called to lead. Men are called, or husbands are called to lead the marriage, and wives are called to submit. And then it goes on and says in verse 1 that even if some do not obey the word. So even if the husband is not saved, the wife is called to submit. And there's this thought that some people have where it's like, oh, my man don't have the Holy Spirit, so I'm a lead this boy. And that's just wrong. It's not what women are called within marriage to be. The man is called to lead in Christ or out of Christ, and the woman is called to submit. Now, the second way that women are called to live within a marriage is very interesting. Verse 3 tells us, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. At this time, women's fashion was starting to get crazy. Like, in the coolest way. I think it's so cool. Women were starting to dye their hair, wild colors. And they were starting to order blonde wigs imported from Germany so that what would have been dark-skinned women had blonde wigs, which is just very interesting to think of. But fashion was getting, out of this world. It was getting crazy. And Peter is saying, wives, don't only focus on your outward beauty. He's not saying do away with trying to look beautiful. No, he's saying do that, but also focus on your inward beauty. And that's the second thing, the second way that women are called to live within marriage, to focus on their inward beauty. Verse 4 says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So wives should not only worry about how they look, though Peter says that's fine, it's okay to want to look beautiful and to take steps toward that, to dye your hair and to wear crazy stuff and to put on wigs and gold and jewelry and all fine apparel, but also focus on developing your inward beauty. And the greatest way that Peter says to do this is to focus in on your relationship with your husband. But girls in junior high now, as you are growing up and exploring outward beauty, junior high is that time where it's like, man, I can do crazy stuff with my hair and get ear piercings and I don't know, fruit roll-up tattoos. Do they still do those? Yes, you can still do that. But as you're doing that, please do not neglect your inward beauty. And that's what Peter's saying. Don't neglect it. Don't forget about it. Yes, outward beauty is cool. Do it. Go crazy. But don't forget your inward beauty. Now, here's the why. There's two reasons why. First, it points the husband to Jesus. A submissive wife, without even using words, is pointing her husband to Jesus. Verse 1 says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, even if they are not Christians, they, without hearing a word from you, may be won by the conduct of their wives. So when a woman is faithful to the role of submitting to her husband, she points him to Jesus. And if he is not saved, that is so important. She is leading him to the Lord. But if he is saved, he needs it maybe even more so to be pointed to Jesus. And the second reason is because it is precious to God. When a woman chooses to not only focus on her outward beauty, but to also focus on becoming the woman that God has called her to be, it is so valuable to God. Peter says it's so precious to God that he sees that. Now we flip to the husbands. And Peter has, he really just calls out the husbands. I think it's so good. Verse 7 says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel." So Peter gives men two huge instructions for how they are to live within a marriage. And first, he says, understand them. Whoa. It has been said that understanding women is like trying to figure out what color the letter 7 smells like. Get it? But we make jokes like that all the time. But Peter is saying a husband's job, his duty, his role is to understand his wife. The husband is called to always be getting to know his wife better, figure out how she feels about this and how she feels about that, but don't leave it there. Relate to her. Understand where she is coming from so that you can lead her in the way that she can go. So the husband is not just like doing whatever he wants, however he wants, and not caring about the woman. No, the husband is to understand her and to relate to her, to get to know her better. And then second, Peter says, give them honor. Honor them. Husbands are to honor their wives. And this word honor, essentially what it means is lead the wife in a way that shows her incredible value. Peter's saying, make this girl feel like she's the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only young girl in the world. It's a song. But that's really what he's saying. To lead the woman in a way that shows how incredibly valuable she is in the eyes of the husband and in the eyes of God. So one of the husband's main jobs is to make the woman, to lead her in a way that she looks incredible and like shines her gifts and her abilities and leads her in a way where she is happy and confident and bold and able to do the gifts that God has given her. It's such, they're so complementary. Do you see this? Like, the husband's called to lead, but he's called to lead the woman in the way that is going to be the most amazing experience for her. And then, finally for the husband, we have why. Peter gives husbands two reasons to understand and honor their wives. And first is because they are equal heirs of eternity. Here, Peter is saying that from an eternal perspective, from God's perspective, women and men are equal. God loves women just as much as he loves men. He is preparing gifts in heaven that are awesome for men, but just as awesome for women. And there is no distinguishing factor in the eyes of God. They are equal in importance, but they are different. But they are equal heirs of eternity, equal heirs of the grace that comes from God. And the second reason is actually like a threat. Like, Peter, like, righteously threatens husbands. It's crazy. He says, understand and honor your wives and lead them in this way so that your prayers are not hindered. So when husbands fail to lead their wives in a way that is with understanding and honor, and leading her in a way that shows the incredible value that God has placed on her life, the man's prayers are hindered. Just the man's. Because he is failing in something that God has called him to. And because of that, his prayers are hindered. Now, we don't know exactly what that means. Maybe there's a feeling in his heart that he can't get over. Maybe he is having trouble focusing on God because of this issue in his life. Maybe we are told in passages of the Bible that issues in a human's life can be like a cloud in the sky that is almost blocking your communication with God. He hears it, but he's not able to interact with it fully because of what's going on in your life. And it could be any of those things. We don't know exactly, but what we know is that a husband who is not able to understand and honor his wife as he is called to, his prayers are hindered. That's very interesting to me, and it's important to notice. Because in God's eyes, men and women are equally important, but their roles in the home and in the church are separate and different. Now, as we come to a close, how do we do this? How does a wife submit to her husband and pursue inward beauty? How does a husband understand and honor his wife and lead her in that way? And I think the answer is riddled all throughout verses 1 through 7. And I think Michael Jackson put it best when Michael Jackson said, "If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make the change." Batman quoted it, but it was originally Michael Jackson in Man in the Mirror. But that is so true. Peter's saying this all throughout. Wives, if your husband is dropping the ball, submit to him, honor him, point him to Jesus by doing that. Husbands, if your wife is not submitting to you, understand her. Understand what she's feeling, where she's coming from. Get to know her more and relate to her, and then honor her. When you get her feelings and understand it, lead her in a way that is going to show her value, that is going to really glorify her. It's going to shine her beauty and her abilities that God has given her, and allow her to live within the marriage in joy. So the answer is what I think Jesus put best in Matthew 7, verse 5, where he's talking about someone walking up to someone trying to like change their life and an issue in their life, and there's like a little speck on their shoulder, but this person has a whole plank in their eye, and they're like, "Oh, hey, come over. There's something right that I'm trying to get out of your face." And Peter says, hypocrite, or not Peter, Jesus. Oh my goodness, sorry, it's Jesus. I just get confused because I said Peter so much. It's Jesus. He says, "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the tiny speck from your brother's eye." So Jesus, and Peter agrees with this as well, is saying, instead of trying to change the way the man is or change the way the woman is, change yourself. Submit within the marriage. Understand and honor the wife. Do you what God has called you to be to the best of your ability. And this is so important for us to understand now in junior high, and it's going to be so important for you to understand in the future as you start dating and as like your crushes, as you're like crushing on that boy or that girl. It's so important and so good for us to know. Let's pray, and then y'all will be good to go. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your standard of men and women, that the roles are different and separate, but so equally important and so equally valuable. Help us to view men and women the same way that you do, and help us to be thankful for the roles that you've called us to as you want us to be. And I pray, Lord, that though this may not apply to us currently where we are, that we would put it in our mind, that we would understand it, that we would think about it, the role that is different for the man and different for the woman, and how that shows how you view men and women from an eternal perspective, and then also just presently in this world currently. And help us to view men and view women and those differences that we have the same way that you do. We pray that you'd go before us this week, speak to us as you desire, We give ourselves afresh to you, Lord. Use us as you please. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. All right, y'all.